Here are some of the verses from Psalms. As the deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you. Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And then verse 10 of Psalm 84, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Our true desire is for the fellowship of God's presence. We long to know that someone is always there for us, that our voice is heard and not ignored. I hope you have that longing. Are you longing for Jesus to come? Today is the first Sunday in Advent. And this year, Advent lasts from Sunday the 1st of December until the 24th of December. Advent is a season observed in the church as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for both the celebration of the birth of Jesus at Christmas and the return of Christ at the second coming. So we're talking about the past, Jesus came, the present, Jesus is here, and the future, Jesus is coming back. And the name Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming or arrival. We're expecting something to happen. And in today's reading, I think we learn what the people of Israel were longing for. And there are seven things that are mentioned in that passage. Let's talk about the first three. They longed for light. The light is dawning. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in deep darkness, a light has dawned. So they longed for light. They longed for the birth of the Savior that had been promised. So, a child is born, a son is given. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. And thirdly, they wanted a ruler of their own. The people were in captivity, and we read that the government will be on his shoulders. Don't you long for something better? Far, much better. Far, far better than the shining lights of Christmas and the tinsel. Later I'll talk in more detail about the one we long for and the other four things that are promised. Let's have a song. Longing for Jesus to come. One of the most well-known prophecies about Jesus that we have been reading and singing about this morning is that in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Last week, Shola talked to us about Jesus our King. This week, we're focusing on what that King is really like. What are the attributes of his character? I heard a story about three lads who were on their way home from the pub. They had had rather a lot to drink and were not too sure where they were. Coming up the road was a policeman in the familiar policeman's uniform. One of the men, let's call him Dave, said, "Excuse me, mate, where are we?" The policeman drew himself up to his full height, and he said, "Ahem, don't you know who I am?" And Dave said, "Now I really am in trouble. I don't know where we are, and he doesn't know who he is." I wonder, could that be your question about Jesus? We don't know who we really are, and yet We are people made in God's image who live to glorify him, and we don't often think about who Jesus is. So let's think about who Jesus is. This prophecy was written approximately 700 years before the birth of Jesus, and it gave specific descriptive names of Jesus. And these names tell us about the character of the one we're longing for at Advent. They tell us what he's really like. This person is the Messiah or the Savior. And there are four characteristics that are mentioned. Number one, he's Wonderful Counselor. And this Wonderful Counselor is very special. He's wonderful for a start. No one compares to him. A counselor gives advice. Jesus is wise and he gives the right advice. Wouldn't you like the services of this counselor? Jesus knows us so well. He guides us when we don't know what to do. How do you make decisions about where to live? What subjects to study in school? What job or career path you'll follow? Who you'll marry? Will you work for God here in England or in another country? That's an exciting question. So many questions. As Christians, we need to ask Jesus for the answers, and we find them through praying to him, reading and listening to what he says in the Bible, which contains the words of God, and through the leading of the Holy Spirit, and through the advice of other Christians. Ask another Christian about this if you're not sure how they make their decisions. How did God speak to them? Jesus always knows what we're going through, and he always knows the right course of action. That's because he's the Wonderful Counselor, and we can trust him to listen to our problems and guide us in the right direction. We can be sure he's listening because he told us to pray to him about our worries, and we can be certain that he has our best interests at heart because he loves us. Are you longing for this Wonderful Counselor? And then he's the Mighty God. How many of you are into superheroes? Are they mighty? Well, they should be. Mighty in the Bible is a translation of the Hebrew word gibor, which is defined as strength, power, hero, warrior. And Isaiah 9:6 tells us that Jesus is El Gibor, the God of strength, the God of power, God our hero, and God our warrior. Do you need strength in your life? Isn't he more powerful than the best dreamed up superhero? The resurrection of Jesus, the fact that he rose from the dead, is undoubtedly the most significant proof that Jesus is the mighty God, showing us his Father's power and authority. Jesus, who had the power to lay down his life and take it up again. But God demonstrated his great power. The Bible says this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. And now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anyone else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. He's in control. Why ask anyone else? So, are you longing for a mighty God to take charge of your life? Third, Everlasting Father. Don't we long for something at last? The question parents like to ask at the shops. But will it last? Will I be back in 3 months to buy another one? Have you ever been disappointed when something didn't last? Last Christmas, our granddaughter got a present of a tiny little remote-controlled dinosaur. She carefully unwrapped it, and with a big smile, set it on the floor to walk and roar. She pressed the button and waited. Nothing happened. How disappointing. It didn't work and had to be returned to the shop. The Bible says Jesus is the King. His throne is above every throne. There's no limit to how great his authority is. He really is in charge. And this Everlasting Father is timeless. He's everlasting. Indeed, in Isaiah 9:7, we learn that of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. This child to be born will be the everlasting Father. He will protect and provide for them. His role as Father will continue forever. Are you longing for the everlasting Father who will protect and provide for us? And then fourthly, he's the Prince of Peace. The people of Israel needed a ruler who could make peace. Like us, they lived during a time of conflict, of war, fear, and captivity. And Jesus is not only a Prince of Peace, but he is the Prince of Peace. In a world filled with war and violence, it's difficult to see how Jesus could be the all-powerful God who acts in human history and is the maker of peace. But is that the kind of peace we're talking about here? I don't think so. The Bible here is talking about peace with God. We read that God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's Romans 5:8. Because Jesus died for us, we're restored to peace with God, and we desperately need God's peace. We can't have peace by ourselves or make peace on our own. It would be impossible without the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The peace we have with God is thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Note that peaceful doesn't mean easy. Jesus never promised easy, but he did promise help. Paul advises us in Philippians, don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. No matter what hardships we're faced with, we can ask for a peace that comes from the powerful love of God that is not dependent on our own strength or the situation around us. We can have a deep, abiding peace because between our hearts and our God that cannot be taken away. Are you longing for the Prince of Peace to come? We've talked about longing for Jesus to come. Finally and briefly, I want to talk about longing for Jesus to come again in the future. You see, Advent also means longing for Jesus to come again, to return, to come back. Jesus did not just live on earth in the past. He has promised to come back again. Don't we all worry about the future? Jesus said in John 14:1-3, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Are you longing for Jesus to come again? This is really good news for all Christians. Our Lord Jesus will come back to take us to be with him. One day, Jesus will come again to bring with him power and great glory. Then there really will be peace and joy, a place where there will be no more death and no more tears. And I finish with another New Testament word, Maranatha, which means, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we pray that each of us would be eagerly waiting for the Savior, Jesus, to come. We're longing for Jesus. We know that you promised to send Jesus, and Jesus came. We pray that we would see you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly day by day. Amen.